Here at Glory to the Nations, we are on our Wednesday night round table discussion, and I'm here with Pastor Sam on my right and Pastor Tim on my left, and my name is Pastor Jim Mandel. We've been in ministry now for almost 20 years, and we are just now starting to crawl under the rock or crawl out of the rock. We've been hidden under the cave all this time. Until now. So it's an appointed time. God has changed our lives in a dramatic way. You can go on our webpage, www.glorytothenations.org, and hear our testimonies. With that being said, we are going to move on with tonight. So we were speaking about following through last Sunday, and we began to start speaking about worshiping our Creator. And you know, most of our listeners are around the world, and you know, even a lot in America, in a sense, or in the church, people just don't know what worship means. Some people might think worship is singing songs and, you know, singing praises and but worship literally is a attitude or a conduct of self, which has a lot to do with self-control, and it also has a lot to do with quieting down the mind,
gratefulness,
and also recognizing our Creator at all times. I mean, I know it can be very difficult. I want to have compassion to a lot of people out there, because if God doesn't do something very special in your life, or really awaken you or change your heart in a very special way, then you have to do it purely by faith. And you have to do it in the sense that there's a belief of something that you just can't see with your human eyes. And you just have to, you know, grab hold of an awareness of our Creator and put your trust and hope fully and an awareness of who He is in Him all the time, and now you're entering into worship. I used to say to some others that they are much fortunate than I am, and they would be like, oh, no way, you were touched in a very unique, special way, you're blessed. And I'm like, no, I saw the glory. And, you know, there's no real need for my efforts of faith, because I saw the glory. But with you, you are walking in pure faith. And it's like, blessed are those who walk in faith that hasn't seen me, right? What is that scripture verse, Sam, that you brought up a couple of times?
Oh, blessed are they that haven't seen.
Well, you can look it up and find it. Pastor Sam's good at finding things on the Google, Mr. Google, but yeah. Well, we have John here today, which is awesome. You're more than welcome to join us here, John, if you like. Pull a seat. We're having a round table discussion, and we'd love to get you involved here. John is one of our, I want to say, disciples that are being raised up. Here, we'll scoot over around here. And I'm really grateful to have John here, and he has this great anointing on his life, and he has an awareness of the gospel that we're bringing in this hour. And this gospel is a very unique gospel. It's no different than when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, when he told the church to change the way they're worshiping, change the way that they're serving God. And we're coming in now, 2,000 years later, saying to the church, change the way you're worshiping. Change the way your religious doctrine is now.
It's funny you say that, because you don't mind me.
No, speak up. You got to speak loud, too.
It's funny you say that, because I was speaking to somebody about 2 weeks ago, through an email, and, you know, we talked about worship, and I said, the key is, what does worship mean? Mm. You know, want to talk about worshiping God, but what does worship really mean? And, you know, for me anyway, it's that, you touched on it, that relationship, that you have with him every minute of every day, that, you know, he's guiding you.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some bumps in the road, and, you know, but at the same time, he's guiding you. You know he's there. You talk to him every day. It's not like a formal discussion either. It's like, you know, hey, thanks for this, thanks for that, but, you know, I need your help here. I need your help there. And
yep,
I just feel good that you're with me.
Yeah, exactly right. See, there's a great awareness that a true worshiper. See, the Bible, I love the book. I love the book. It's the only book that I was able to really bear witness with in myself, because my transformation when I was taken into that heavenly place, the word was given to me. And then when I read the Bible, it was like all that I had in me was in that book. So I use that book as just a witness of what's already inside of me. And this is what, you know, we do in this place here. We have the true Spirit of God within us. But in that book, it says, in the last days, the true worshipers will come and worship God in spirit and in truth. And for us, first of all, true worship is coming into the realm of a spirit. You have to realize the supernatural and begin to have an understanding of our Creator, and that Creator is with us. He put a tabernacle, He dwells with us, His word's in us, and we become more spiritually minded just having that awareness that we have our Creator that is so close to us that we can come to Him, ask Him through what, you know, the sector says, the Holy Spirit. But in reality, the Trinity is not the Trinity. It's all one. It's God. It's, you know, would you say Jesus had the Trinity? You see, when he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I always say what the Father tells me to say. So, yes, we can say that small voice inside of us is the Holy Spirit. We can say it's the Holy Spirit, but I want to just go directly to the Father. It's the Father. I want the same words that Jesus said. I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. He didn't say, oh, I only do what the Holy Ghost tells me to say, and I only do what the Holy Ghost tells me to do. You know, we have access right to the Father.
I think you're right about that. And, you know, what comes to me right now is when the disciples there, the apostles were so troubled when Jesus was going. He said, don't worry, there's a counselor that I'm sending to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was referring to that Trinity, but it's really all God.
It's all God. And, you know, when we can begin to mature, and I believe this is what God is saying to us in this hour, it's maturity, because I'm coming quickly and I'm running close to, you know, coming in. And look, I spoke about this, I don't know how many messages ago, how many Sundays ago, that we are beginning to come coexistent with the universe. You know, we're colliding together. You know, the universe and God and the creation of the heavenly realms is like invading Earth, you know, and it's time. Some people might say it's the rapture or whatever, but I look at it much deeper than that. Look, how many of us agree or may not disagree that there's life out there? Well, if you believe in the Spirit, there's life right there, you know? The Bible speaks about living creatures and, you know, angelic beings. And, you know, I know my life, when I went up in that realm, I saw all those living creatures and everything. Tim, what's your point on this?
Well, I just wanted to elaborate on the worship.
Yeah.
The misguided information out there, it's not an outward approach. It's not an outward action.
Go.
It's not a verbalization to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inward, heartfelt obedience
mm-hmm.
to God. So when you have a relationship with God, you're starting to hear His voice, and you're being obedient to Him, and you're honoring it. You're reverencing that, you know, he's inside of you, and He's speaking to you on a daily basis, and you're following that. That's the true worship. You know, and that's really by faith, because it's not by your mind. It's not by verbalizing, hey, God, I love you and all. Because He says, you know, your mouth and through your lips, you're telling me that, but your heart's far from me. So worship truly takes place inside the heart, and it's a reverence. It's an honor. It's a following His living word that's constantly speaking. And it's nothing to do with this outwardness that that the church and all these other religions and stuff that display, like, guys, people get dressed up in all these cloaks and garments, and they're parading themselves around, and they're, you know, they got all this bling bling going on. It has nothing to do with that.
Well, the word you says know? That he, they got their worship already. You see, they got their approval by man.
Well, yeah. A lot of people worship because of things they attain or things that they get. It's external, like you said, it's all internal. It's really a gratefulness for God to choose to have a relationship with us. And it's a gratefulness that we have towards him for allowing us to have a relationship. That the God of all creation said, I want to know you, and you can know me. And that inner awareness of that. See, it says faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We never saw God, but he's in there, and we know it. And you can't tell me he's not in there. And because I know he's inside of me, because I know God, a relationship with God, I'm grateful. And that causes a character. That causes a character of gratefulness. And you never, ever, ever forget that God is in you because you're so grateful. I mean, for everything, little things. Nothing external. It's like you said, it's all internal.
Well, when you know the truth, you know, that's where the true worshipers will rise up and worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, you know, the scriptures come out and say it. If you, whatever you do in secret, yep. Our Heavenly Father rewards us openly. You know,
I take that seriously.
Yeah, and you know, it's almost like that's what we're all part. You know, we're not out. I mean, I mentioned to Sam. Sam, you want to build a big church? All you got to do is pet people and lie.
That's right.
You know,
promise them wealth.
Yeah,
no, promise them prosperity.
Happening, it's happening all over right
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, that's their religion. You petting people and lying.
Slap yeah. your brother in the head and tell him he's going to be a millionaire.
But the question is, are they going to obtain a relationship? And are they going to reach that eternal life? And this is the thing that really...
They'll never come into glory.
Well, this is what really spooks me.
Yeah.
Okay? Because those that are teachers of the word or teachers of them, showing them how to come to the glory, are responsible.
Double.
Blood's on their
they'll
hands.
Be, there'll That's be right. double judgment on them.
That's says. Right. So double. So those that are out there that aren't lining up in the truth and they're leading the sheep down the wrong path. I feel bad for them.
There it is.
I do too. I mean, I see it every day.
Yeah.
I see people walking around in their righteousness, but yet they're lost.
They're big time lost.
And you know, they think they're doing the right thing, and you can't talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not up to us. It's up to God to do that. You know, and you know, one thing I wanted to say about worship for me, it's a feeling.
It's up to God to do it, but it's also up to us to lead them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, God will open the door for you to do that.
And you hope, right? I mean, granted, you don't want to jump in anybody's face, but at the same time, you might have to face some confrontation. And you're good at that, John. That's why I love you so much. You know, you're more like in your face and, you know, don't want to have... You're not willing to offend anyone. Not to offend one.
I won't do that.
But you'll point some stuff
out. Got a little fire on them.
But, you know, it's funny because, like, I hope to see this person I talked to, and the door just opened up. He opened the door. I was like, I knew right away that I could talk to him.
Yeah.
And he's seeking, he's learning, and he's still stuck in that mud of religion, but, you know, he gives
Is
us
Is he the, close to this area?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm going all over the country, so for whatever God has blessed me with a gift that I'm doing this, and then when there's an opportunity, you know, he presents it to me. So that's send why him, I think it's up to him.
Send them to the website because
they are coming.
Good, because look, I really appreciate everybody that's following us on the website because it's our job to lead them into that realm of glory. It's our job. I mean, we're not going to give you these prosperity messages. All we're going to teach you how to come into the eternal life, into
Correct.
The eternal realm, into the realm of glory.
And everything else will be added
onto
you.
And become immortality. You know, walk into that immortality so that you can have oneness with our Creator. And then when we do leave this earth, when our time is up, we'll be in that place for eternity. You know, I feel bad for all the people that have a good heart, who are sincere, but they're sitting under a duped situation. Yeah, they're being duped. And it's very upsetting to me. I want to grab each one of them and just smack them around. Say, do you know what harm you're doing to these individuals? And because they might be a good person and everything, they're over there supporting them and saying, oh, don't talk bad about my pastor. He's a good man. You know? And the whole time is that bastard, a wolf in sheep's clothing, just drowned in the person.
You know what I think, too? I'm sorry, Tim. That, you know, it just comes to me that, you know, just some food for thought. It might be our message and how we're presenting it, and I'm not asking to compromise at all. You can't compromise the truth, and I realize that.
You just hope that
sometimes,
they have ears to hear.
Well, when I speak, I'm kind of using words that they can relate to.
Yeah, sure. Not so religious.
Yeah, I'm not mocking anything or trying to tell anybody to do anything wrong, right. But it's kind of a way to reach them in a way, almost like, you know, I'm trying to be all things to all men to win
you
them
have
the
to.
More.
You have to. That's so why you, if you look
even
at
if
my
you,
conduct.
Even if you dumb it down to, you know, a slice of white bread, you know what I mean? Even if you dumb it down to that level,
you
might catch their attention. And get them to thirst.
Well, this is the purpose of what we're doing right now. We're breaking down what worship is.
Yeah. Right.
You know, if we just said, you got to worship God, you know, and leave it like that, we're going to leave our people lost.
Because they have this open interpretations from that standpoint.
Exactly right. What actually is worship?
Worship.
You know?
Right.
And so right now we're leading. If our listeners just begin to keep following us, right now we're speaking series on this and we're breaking it down, entering into the throne room. We're coming into the realm of glory. Right now there is a movement. The religion back in the day is no longer existent.
True.
It's called glory and grace. And people need to begin to understand what is glory, what is the realm of glory. How do you get there? How do you sense it? How do you acknowledge it? What is it? And then grace. What is grace? For one, grace, and I'll just put it real quickly in a nutshell, grace means that there is no sin. These people that are still putting Christ on the cross and going to Calvary and asking forgiveness, I'm going to tell you right now, you're being lied to. Whoever's teaching you that stuff and whoever's telling you that stuff, you're being lied to.
Yep.
And you got to get over the repentance, I'm sorry, act.
Correct.
The repentance is form of changing the way you're thinking.
Yes.
And if you don't start waking up to this reality, you're going to always put guilt and shame and condemnation on yourself, and you'll never, ever think that you're worthy even to come to a ministry like this. I can't come to that place because, you know, I just was out getting loaded last night, or I was out with Janie, you know, and I'm not married, and, you know, and I watched some movies that I shouldn't have been watching, or whatever it might be. But you know what? Grace is the fact that God doesn't even see that. You see? We talked about prayer and the language of prayer. God doesn't hear our vain repetition. He doesn't hear our emotional language, our mouths uttering these foreign languages to him. He hears our heart, and our heart makes a sound. The brokenness of our heart is a cry to our Creator. He hears that cry. And I guarantee most of our listeners out there, their hearts are crying and God's saying, I'm right here. But you can't hear it because you have no foundation of worship.
They're lacking awareness.
Yeah, it's not just the brokenness of the heart. You know, it's the heart wanting to yearn for him. It's the heart hungering. It's the heart thirsting for him, for his knowledge, for his closeness, for his peace.
To be honest with you, that's where brokenness is. See, brokenness is the beginning of that. Brokenness is saying, I want to know you. Brokenness is longing for the Creator's love, but they have no acknowledge what they want. It's like, you know how you ever have a craving for something? I want something sweet.
Just don't know what it is.
But I don't know what it is. You know, maybe it's ice cream. Nah, that doesn't satisfy me. Maybe this. I don't know. Everyone has this craving, but this craving don't come until brokenness comes. They have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired, because what happens is broken brings humility. Humility opens the gates of heaven.
Absolutely.
And brings unity with the oneness of our Creator. Pride is the one that closes the gates of heaven and separates us from the glory of God. So when we are walking with pride, we have no conscience of, you know, the reality of who God is. That's why Jesus says, I didn't come for the well. What he's saying is, I didn't come for the pride. I came for the sick. I came for the broken. I came for the broken-trodden ones. Because them right there have already set a stage of saying, I want to enter into this place. I don't know what this place is, but I want to enter. And that's, he's like, I know the way.
That's the yearning of the heart.
That's the yearning. That's right.
You know,
you cannot minister to someone who has pride.
No.
You can't.
Self-righteous.
They think they know everything. They got all the answers. They're the ones that are saying there is no God. That's the ones that are given to a vile passions and a debased mind.
And those ones will never come to you. They won't.
Never.
They won't come to you.
No,
they won't ask
they'll shut
for,
you out and they'll look at you as a fool.
And if they, you know, you always said this, and I don't know how many messages over the years. I've been here almost 10 years. Do you know that?
Almost 10 years?
Almost 10 years since I walked in that door.
You got to talk loud.
Next year, it'll be 10 years. And I was, it just hit me. But, you know.
That's an awesome thing.
They'll never come to us for that kind of help. You know why? Because their pride, and like you said, it's just so deep. That, you know,
it is.
They can never do that.
And they're the ones I don't even pray for. You know, it's like, you know.
Well, you know, and you said it a couple weeks ago when you talked about worship, that, and this is what was, this was part of my email to this individual. I said, the message was great because it says, if you're not worshiping God, you're walking away from God.
Exactly right.
You know, so those kind of things stuck with me, that, you know, we're always walking in worship.
Well, getting back to leading our listeners, okay? Worship is that sense of conduct, okay? We talked about what prayer is and what how you pray, because it's that acknowledgement of who our Creator is.
There you go.
Understanding, you know, lead me not into temptation, because we're all subject to fall into temptation. So it keeps you in that humble, broken, reverence, fear of the Lord kind of thing. And that in itself is prayer. God already knows what we need. So most of our worship and most of our prayer is asking for our needs.
Exactly right.
God doesn't want to hear that.
Nope.
He don't want to hear that need.
He's not Santa Claus.
He wants to hear, God, I trust you, and I'm going to wait on you. He wants to hear, I'm going to wait on you, and I'm not going to be anxious for nothing, and I'm going to be content in all my things. I'm going to learn to be content in everything. I'm going to wait on you. And yes, there's a burning desire of hope that there are things that I want to do and there's things that I want to accomplish, but they're from you anyhow, and I'm going to just wait until you open up the doors. You see? That's what God is looking for. Because now you're showing honor. You're showing glory. Now, this is the cool thing about glory. As you begin to honor the Father, God begins to honor you.
Correct.
Then you begin to start entering into those things that you desire for, and you enter into the realm of glory. Glory is nothing more than victory. Glory is nothing more than having an overwhelming form of peace in your heart.
Correct.
Glory is a form of joy, unspeakable, full of gladness. Glory is like holding up that trophy and say, I just conquered Mount Everest, and I just, you know, won the race, you see? And that's glory. There's a disposition about an individual that is just so overwhelmed with success. Even though you might not have success in the world, in the supernatural, in the immortality realm of the spirit, you have obtained.
Yep.
I'm living in glory, you see? Even though I might not have silver and gold, I don't have, but what I do have, rise up and walk. Excuse me.
We had a guy come up to one of our people in the church, and they were having a rough time, and they basically said, I don't have any worship in me. I can't even worship. And you know, the words for that person, you know, like Pastor said, worship is an acknowledgement of a higher being, and it's a gratefulness. You know, if you don't have anything, if you don't look for something to worship for, you know, thank God. Just thank a higher being for the five fingers on each hand that work. Thank him that you can see clear. Thank him that you have a sound mind. thanking that you have a roof over your head and food in your belly. There's a lot of things you can start worshiping God. That's worship, is being grateful and an acknowledgement of a higher being. Those of you who never even heard of God, never even experienced God, saying worship is like foreign. But we're saying an acknowledgement of a higher being and being grateful for what he's given you so far, acknowledging that he's given you five fingers that work, eyes that can see, a sound mind. That's where you start. That's where worship begins. And if you start there, that's how you start a relationship. You start realizing that God is giving these things, and there's something that happens inside you. There's an explosion that happens, and you start really believing that God is in your life and that he's giving you these things. And like Pastor said, later on, you know, your true hopes start coming out. There's true hopes that are written on your heart that will come out later on.
That's having eyes to see and ears to hear.
Yep.
You know, getting up and walking to the door is a blessing.
Yep.
You know, I saw somebody that was kind of crippled the other day, and he was just walking and, you know, struggling to walk, but he was doing it, you know, and I was like going, you know, we take it for granted that we can just get
Correct.
Up and we can walk.
Correct.
So, yep. You know, that gratefulness is a huge part of it.
You know what? Yep. I'm glad that you said something like that, because there are a lot of people out there that just are dwelling on their circumstances, yep. And they need to repent. Now, repentance is not, I'm sorry. No, repentance is stop doing what you're doing and change the way you're thinking.
Correct.
And this is what God is asking for us to come into this realm of grace. Now, there are people that have it far more worse than you do.
That's right.
And I want our listeners to understand that. I don't care if you are down to like nothing. There's someone that's down to nothing, nothing.
Way worse.
Right. There's always someone out there that is worse off than you.
Correct. Yep.
And you know how many people are, they have provisions, they got a roof over their head, they got food on the table, they even got a little bit of money in their pocket, and they are just carrying on as if the world is falling apart on them.
Looking at what they don't have.
Yeah. Now those individuals,
lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. I want to smack Sick. Around.
Yep.
And say, listen, this is the time where you gotta stop. You gotta stop. If you want a new life and you're complaining, you have just opened up the door for the dark realm to just literally rob, steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
And our listeners have to understand that there are demonic dark forces out there. Even though we speak about the angels of God and the glory of God and the wonders of his power and might, there is also a law that is in heaven, and we speak about that a lot, and that law has already been set in stone since the foundations of the world, and God cannot change the oracles of him, right. And they are set in stone.
Yep.
And in that, there's an agreement. And that agreement,
interesting,
that agreement in itself is basically like this. God had a deal with the devil. I got internal realm, and I got a kingdom called the kingdom of God. That's my place. And you got a place. It's called the world. And you can rule and reign on that world. And if anyone doesn't come and worship me, you have rights to go mess with them. You got to talk to me first, and I'll let you know how far you can go, because God says in his laws, he'll never give you more than you can handle. So there'll be a point where God works it out, where he even said it in Job,
yep.
Says, don't kill him.
Yep.
You see? And what did darkness do? Came in. What did darkness do, Tim? Share with our listeners out there, because they got to understand that the darkness, devil, however you want to say it, they have rights. And don't think that God don't talk to Satan. Don't think that God doesn't talk to the devil.
God,
that's
they basically ask permission.
Exactly right. Darkness is constantly going to our supreme creator and saying, God, what about, I'm going to use myself for an example. What about your servant Jim? Look at what he did today. God says, well, let me look at it. Well, you know, he was glorifying me. Well, he was complain a little bit. All right, you know what? Stick a thorn in his side. You know what I mean? And then I go to God and say, God, this thorn is killing me. And he says,
my grace is sufficient for you.
Repent.
You know, you better look at yourself and start changing the way you're thinking, because I'm God and you're not. And then he reveals to me what the thorn is. Yep. And I say, okay, and pull it out myself. You see?
Out of changing the way you're thinking.
Exactly right. By changing the way I'm thinking.
And that knowledge has been there since the foundations of the world.
Exactly right.
It's always there. So, you know, you always talk about this when you get that feeling like you want to start complaining or you start ratcheting a little bit. Yep. Well, that feeling is not
bad. No, it's,
and,
it's
know, for
weakness.
For our listeners out there, if you could just practice that simple technique of feeling this way, I feel like yelling at this person, or I feel like complaining, I just feel like I want to entertain depression, that is not from God.
No.
And that's right. And in that case, it goes back to our original discussion, is that if you're not worshiping God, then you're walking away from him.
Exactly right. See, when you don't honor our Creator, recognize him in all things, this is what happens. Because of the law that is written in the heavenlies, it begins to give you a little leaven. And that leaven in itself spoils a whole bunch when it builds up. That leaven is given to vile passions and debased minds. Your passions get more lustful in the world. Your eyes have more lust. I want, I want, I want,
it takes
I want. When that begins to happen, you're in the danger zone. You shouldn't want nothing.
Even worse is I need.
When you want, you are in the danger zone. Now, I want. Now, I'm going to tell you the difference between wanting and wanting.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same word, right?
Yeah.
The worldly want
anxious
is when your heart is troubled.
Yep.
You can't, you're unrest. You're constantly thinking about it. You're kind of kicking because you can't have it. You're kind of pouting because, you know, you're not getting it.
Or you're trying to force yourself to get it.
Yes, you're trying to manipulate or open up doors or spending money you don't have or whatever. Yeah. Exactly right. That's the one that is like a vile passion.
Yeah.
You can have wants. Look, I got lots of wants.
Which are ambitions,
their
dreams, their hopes. It's different.
Exactly right.
But you're not anxious to get it.
My heart's not a mess.
Right.
I rest. I wait.
Yep.
I give it to God. If it's your will, Lord, let it be.
But
if it's not,
on earth, you lose in heaven.
Exactly right.
You're not losing sleep over.
Exactly right. So we really need to begin to understand how this little leaven spoils a whole bunch. And then a debased mind. Pride begins to rise up.
Yeah.
You can't tell that person to change the way they're thinking.
Right.
In a nutshell, a debased mind is that they are so full of pride, they're unteachable, and you cannot tell them nothing. That's a bad place.
Yeah.
And their altered thinking is perverted, and everything is right, and then they fly to the flock that will agree with them. And then they'll get a gang there saying, well, if I was wrong, why do I have 10 other people over here agreeing
Correct.
With what
Money
I'm doing?
Bingo, bingo, bingo.
And they can't face it on their own. They have to have many's to back them up. It's wrong.
It's definitely
wrong. It only gets worse.
It only gets worse.
Yeah. And then go over the other one.
But but which one?
You said there's two wants, one on the world and one in spirit.
On the debased mind. Oh, well, you never enter into the debased mind. In the debased mind,
you were going to go over both once.
Oh, once was you don't have a troubled heart.
And the second one.
Your heart's really troubled and torn
that's
apart.
That's really fake.
Simply put,
Your heart's pulled. And even going to a debased mind, you're full of pride and there is no repentance.
Correct.
Where the other is you're opened.
Right. Yep.
You're willing to repent. Yep. You're willing to, listen to what is being said.
You're patient. You have self-control.
And take it to the Lord and ask for
it. It's actually a prime flying fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Patience, joy, self-control, all those things.
When you're full of pride, God resists you. All of heaven resists you. And God hands you over to the darkness who sifts you like wheat.
Exactly right.
And that's when all these troubles and problems and attacks happen to you in your life, because you're out of the will of God. You're out of His glory, His presence,
how about this
His
one?
Worship.
Let's take it a little bit more subtle, because people might think that there is no turmoil going on in their life. They got it easy. They got their mortgage to be paying. Well, let me share something with you, because we're looking at more natural disturbance. Let's just take all inner disturbance. Yeah. There are people out there that are successful. There are people out there that have nice homes and have nice cars.
But they don't
and
sleep.
They got money. That's right. That's what my point is. Because when we say that all these bad things start happening around them, they're naturally thinking on the natural realm of, you know, tripping down the stairways, or
I'm provided for. What do I got? This, but they're worried. They're anxious.
Right.
They're afraid of losing things that they acquired.
That's what I want our listeners to focus on, because when we say that these troubles come and these situations happen to you, it's your heart that gets troubled. Sure. You can't sleep. You're nauseous. You have fear. You have worry. You have anxiety attacks. You come through depression. You're an internal hot mess.
You don't need money for that to happen. But
no.
Money only makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden it starts taking a physical manifestation within you.
You know, I had an individual come to me and say, "Hey, why do you go to the poor people and help them out and all that? You know, rich people need you too, you know?" And I said, "You're right. You know, we don't go just to the poor people. We go to rich people. But the problem is the rich people can't really accept, well, the poor people can't accept it either for some reason. They got just as much pride as the rich people do. But, And, you know, it's like, now we don't even go really to anybody other than we just speak, and if they have ears to hear, let them hear, you know? But, my heart goes out to a lot of individuals who have a lot going on for themselves, and their insides are just rotting.
Well, let's stay with the story of Job. God came to Satan and said, "Consider my servant Job," because he knew Job was full of... Job had riches, he had wealth, he had wives, and he had a wife and children, and he had lands and tons of cattle.
And
God said to Satan, "Consider my servant Job. He's a great man," and because he needed to humble him. God's.
Here's a perfect example of what Tim was saying earlier. Your lips confess me, but your heart was so far from me.
Correct.
Job, I believe he started out right.
Yes.
Okay, his heart and lips were there, but as the blessings and everything else started,
it's like you said earlier, he stopped worshiping.
He
started slowing down, and because of that, like John said, he went backwards. And he kept going backwards. And God's goal is to bring us to that place. God wants us to have peace and joy and happiness. And Job didn't have peace, joy, and happiness at the end. He might have had in the beginning with a grateful heart, but when God came to him, he wasn't.
They were joys and happiness, but they were carnal.
External.
Look at my house.
Correct.
Right. You see? Right.
Like
I'm so happy.
Like Tim said, worship comes from within.
Exactly.
Not from
right.
external.
But his heart was depressed.
Correct.
Right.
You see, and these are the people that I want to hit tonight.
Yes.
You know, there are thousands of people listening to us tonight. And there are, I would say, the majority of them are right what we're talking about right
Correct.
now. Or we wouldn't be talking about it.
Nope.
And, you know,
it starts with admitting it.
Exactly.
Just saying,
right.
You know what? Hey,
I'm not happy
inside.
I need some peace and joy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where
do I find it?
Well,
we're telling you where to find it tonight. Yeah.
This is the beginning road. You know, we're looking at the kingdom of God right there, and we are at the threshold of the beginning of the road.
You're about to enter in.
Yep. Yeah. And if you keep following us, we're going to lead you down that road.
That's right. That's true.
The beginning is you have to establish a place of worship.
Correct.
I tell most people, shut your life down for a year or two. Shut it down. Shut it down.
I can't do
Get
that.
Your mind at
bills.
Peace. Get your mind at rest. You got to, stop. Where your heart, you got to look at where your heart is. Where's your heart?
You know, I hear a lot of people out there that I come into contact with on a daily basis, and they take grace, and they think grace just means favor. It's far from the truth. Okay? the favor should be in peace, joy, and righteousness, having that intimate relationship with God on a daily basis and having a revelation knowledge of his love in your life so that you can have a grateful heart and you can worship him in spirit and truth. But the people out there just take it as favor, saying, I get these blessings. I'm asking God for these blessings.
Yeah, I got grace
in
my life.
Provide for me for this, God. Provide for me for that. That's not a relationship. That's like a hired, I don't know.
Santa Claus.
Yeah. Just give me this. Give me that. Keep providing for me. Thank you. Okay. You know, but it's an outward thing.
They can't be Christmas.
We're God.
Hey, darkness can give gifts too.
Yeah. That's right.
Didn't Jesus walk into the desert and Satan said to him,
he was fasting for 40 days.
Give you all these things if you would just bow down and worship.
I'll give you these.
Yeah, he took them up on the top of the mountain and showed them and said, look at over there.
Don't laugh, but darkness does that to us too.
Exactly right. It's alive. It's the same today.
Desires of lust and everything else.
Well, you know, it might say, hey, look, you know, I can give you all this, but you're going to have to do somebody wrong.
And
inside of you, you're like, I just can't do that. But
correct.
Your lust will force you to go after that. And it doesn't matter who gets in your way.
It's horrible. And, you know, and the funny thing is people begin to praise God on those false blessings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
External.
The demonic blessed you, and they're saying, praise God, you know, at the same time.
When
blessings come around me, my eyes are up and saying, okay, God, I'll take them, but what's next? What's around the corner?
He said the Lord's blessings rain on the just and the unjust alike. There's no difference. He rains on the just and the unjust alike. Yeah. There's no difference. He's going to do the same thing, but it's up to you and how you think and how you receive it and how you deal with it. You know, you have to deal with it with faith and gratefulness.
Just remember how Satan told Jesus, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me.
You know, back in the Old Testament, King David fought many wars, and God would always tell him after the victory, get on your face and seek me and worship me. Get a praise in your heart. Don't focus on the victory.
Correct.
But just keep your eyes and focus on praising me and worshiping me. That's where we lose focus on a daily basis is we look at the victories in life and we're like, oh, yeah, we can rest. No. Get on your face and seek God.
It's like mountains and valleys.
Yes.
And this is where Paul, when he really attained, he said, I've learned how to be at peace, both on the mountaintop and in the valley. Both when things are going great, I'm at peace. And when things are horrible, I'm at peace because I know my Father and I have a relationship. And he loves me.
Yep.
And he's going to bless me through this. Listen, everything is for a time. Nothing's forever. Unless you stay or go backwards and don't have a grateful heart or don't worship.
Yeah.
Things are always going to be for a short period of time. And God, everything's a test. God's trying to see how you're going to react, and he's trying to build a character in us. And that's his goal. And that character is worship. That's what he said earlier.
You know, like Pastor Jim said earlier, you know, He takes a blessing and he says, okay, God, thank you. But then he's like, okay, God, what do I got to do now? And he starts to worship God in his heart, saying, I'm giving you reverence and honor. I'm not just looking at
because
this blessing.
There's normally a requirement.
Correct.
There's a requirement.
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, what do you want to do now?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What do you want me to do? What do I got to do?
Keep worshiping.
You know, thank you. And there's also a reverence fear of the Lord, too, when those blessings come. You know, you don't get haughty.
No, you get humbled.
Yes, you have to take it in a place of, I don't deserve nothing.
There you go.
Right. You see, and when I get, hallelujah, when I get a blessing,
it's
you know, it's from him, and it's like, okay, Lord, this is pure.
Yeah. Because God gave it to you.
That's right.
100% God. Nothing, no man, no person, no earth. It was all God.
That's right.
God gave it to you. He won't take it away.
He said the gifts of God are without repentance.
Look, there was times where I had this false humility. And I'm going to tell you how it manifests. Someone wants to offer to buy you lunch. No, that's okay. I got it. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, my whole mind and my heart has changed. When I see someone saying, hey, let me buy you some lunch today. Thank you, Lord.
Because you know it's from God.
What do you want me to do now?
Yep.
You see, what do I need to do? Because God, he rewards you, and then he expects you to serve him.
Yeah.
And then he rewards you. See, the world, we work first and then get rewarded.
Right.
God rewards us first, and then we got to serve him. Yeah. And people have to understand that the eternal realm is completely opposite of the natural realm. And that's why it's so important to repent.
Correct.
We got to change the way we're thinking. We got to rewire and reverse our thought pattern.
True.
And understand this within our heart. Within our heart.
Well, because a lot of people out there think they're owed things in life.
Oh, that's the pride.
And that's the pride. Right, there. Right. And that's what we got to resist, and we got to let that go, you know, and be grateful for everything that we have, whether we have it or we don't have it. Just be grateful.
That's maturity versus immaturity. Yeah,
exactly.
When we can come to that place and realize we're really nothing. I mean, who are we really?
Dust in the wind.
You see what I'm saying?
All we are is dust in the wind.
Like, yeah, we got names and stuff like that, but do we really deserve any recognition?
No.
Do we really deserve anything?
No, we didn't do it. Because you didn't create yourself.
Exactly.
Exactly right. We owe the Creator our all.
Yeah. We're a child of God.
And
I know we're that.
Right.
And you know, that's who we... That's who we follow. That's who we serve. I don't like the word serve. I just...
Or in relationship with.
I'm trying to look for a different word because it's almost like a partnership. You know, when you talk about, you know, you got blessed and, you know, then there's work after that. Well, I'm looking for an opportunity. He's going to present me with an opportunity. You say, look, I'm partnering with you. Yeah, I've given you this blessing, but now, you know, we're going to partner together and we're going to go out there and
so you're going to use me in something.
Whatever opportunity he puts, and what that really means is he might have somebody that's waiting to hear the word. You know, and I don't mean to put down the word serve, but I always look at it as a partnership. That's just my relationship.
I kind of understand where you're going, but at the same time.
Let me tell you what a bondservant is. A bondservant was originally a slave to a master. He served time, and that master set him free. The master set that slave free. And the slave chose to return to that master and become a worker of his still, but not a slave anymore.
It's a bond.
Exactly.
Servant.
He's a bond servant. He has been set free from slavery,
and
he returned back to the master, and now he serves him willingly.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the focus that I want to look at, because we were all set free.
Correct.
Through redemption.
Correct.
Partnership, and I agree with what you're saying.
It means both you're equal.
And in the world, we need to sometimes focus in that realm, because especially slavery today. You know, everybody's so uproared with slavery, and they almost don't want to hear the word slavery and all that other stuff. And then you're in that racist thing going on or whatever. But to be free from sin, we rebelled from the very beginning of heaven.
Correct.
Yes.
And we have to never forget that.
That's right.
Where we came from.
Where our roots are.
You know, God gave you a second chance. He could have just cut the cord right then and
exactly
there and
right.
had us just burn.
Didn't have to create earth.
But he created a place for redemption.
Yes.
And that redemption in itself gave us a chance to re-put him back on that throne. And so for me, I don't have a problem saying I am free and now I'm going to go back
willingly
serve unconditionally.
Yes.
Partnership for me, and I can understand the listeners out there that would rather maybe hear partnership. But for me, partnership is giving me a choice and putting me on the same playing field of making that choice whether I want to or not as a partner and making those choices. I don't really have a choice at this point. It's like, I'm going to serve you unconditionally, and whatever your will is, I'm going to surrender to
not
that
my
will.
Your will.
You know what? It's out of a love, because we're free.
Because he set us free.
Because God set us free, and we experience his love, and we're giving love back in gratitude and saying, you know what, God? You're full of love, and I just want to love you back.
Look, he set us free from guilt, shame, and self-condemnation.
Yeah,
he set us free from the three things that were killing us.
Yep.
You know, it's a good point for the world, those that are listening to us, to understand where we first came from. Yeah. You know, it's almost like when you come from the slum of the slum, and then you're pulled out of the slum, and you're actually given a nice, clean place to live, there's a lot of gratitude there. But if you never knew that you came out of the slum, then you really don't know, and you can't really have that gratitude, and you take what you have for granted.
You know, it's funny you say that. There was a movie, I think it was Scarface, and he came from nothing,
Cuba.
And he rose up and he said, he just said basically, never forget where you came from. Never forget where you came from. He didn't take anything for granted, you know? And this is coming from like a criminal. But think about us, like we lost worship with God.
Yep.
God gave us a second chance, took us out of condemnation and guilt and everything, gave us his love, and we're saying, don't take it for granted.
Look at the Israelites. Yeah. They were in slavery to Egypt. The Pharaoh kept them. God set them free from slavery in Egypt, and they still rebelled.
They still rebelled.
They wanted to go back. They were like, take us back to Egypt. Yeah. Take us back to slavery. We'd rather go there because we can't see what's coming ahead of us.
We don't want faith.
What the heck?
We want to know that we're still living.
We want to go back to the known. Yeah. We don't want to go to the unknown.
I've seen that happen here.
How many
people you seen walk in and out of here?
Yep.
I can think of one person right now walked in here, enthusiastic, boom, boom, boom. Watch his life falling apart right now.
Yep.
And it will continue to fall apart.
Correct.
It'll continue to fall apart.
You know, I question God. What the heck are we? And it was like an audible voice. Your judgment. He's like, I can't judge them until I had a servant come to them and say, I gave it to you. And you denied it. And so now when they stand before me, I can use you as my servant because I'm bringing judgment.
And you never know where opportunity's coming from.
That's right.
I think that's my point.
Yep.
You know, when it comes to having that relationship, I can't do anything without him.
No.
I can't do anything.
Well, we got to end.
Amen, amen.
We've gotten to the point, we've gotten some really good, deep discussions. I was excited about, you know, our topic tonight. We could keep going on and on and on. I want to thank John for showing up and joining us tonight. Yeah, which is awesome. And I hope these things take place. And I'm encouraging others that are out there that would like to join us in this round table discussion.
Oh,
and bring on some topics because we want the listeners out there to really begin to understand, for one, the sincerity of the ministry here at Glory to the Nation.
We want all your questions.
Yeah, we want to steer you in the right place.
Correct.
We would never, ever want to try to fluff you up for our personal agenda.
No.
We want to make sure that you have eternal life and that you have a relationship with God, period. You know, we have a responsibility on our own to do this, and by that, we know our well-being will be taken care of.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. We know.
What are we doing here on a Wednesday night?
Hello.
That's right. Exactly.
What are we doing here on a Wednesday night?
We're going to be reaping the, you know.
What moves you to be here?
His glory.
His glory. Yeah.
His glory. And, you know.
His grace.
Comes in all forms, shapes, and sizes.
We're going to get more deeper into the glory. We are transformed from glory to glory to glory. And tonight was a beginning realm of glory so that we can begin to understand what worship is, what it really means to put our lives in the Creator and let Him be first in our lives. Yeah. And if I ever have to leave something with our listeners tonight, let's leave it with that, you know. Understand what worship is. Understand how to recognize our Creator. I understand how difficult it is because you don't have a carved image or a created thing to look at. But God wants us to look at Him through our heart and honor and adore Him through our heart.
It's better than an image.
Internal
it's
relationship.
Much better
much
than an image.
Much better than an image.
Internal.
Because it's with you all the time.
That's right.
For an image, you have to go to that image. Mm-hmm. God's with you all the time right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are sad things that are happening in religion, in the church, that they're taking the prophets and the saints and stuff like that, and they're even going to the fathers of the ministries and going to Calvary or what have you.
Worshiping them.
it all has to stop. It all has to come to an end. It's God is saying it's a new wave, it's a new realm of glory, and it's done.
Just remember
it's
what over. Jesus said, his words, worship God and him only. Keep that in mind.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you again, www.glorytothenations.org. Keep logging on, and you'll be in that realm of eternity.
Yeah.